Hey everybody, it's Mark Pattison back again with another episode of Finding Your Summit, all about people overcoming adversity and finding their way. And this week we've got another incredible guest. His name, Cody Foster, and he is the co-founder of Advisors Excel. Imagine this, starting a company in 2005, and now we sit here in 2019, and it goes from zero to almost $8 billion in top line revenue. So just explosive growth. I mean, we all want to have companies that have amazing success, and this guy actually did it. So we actually go through and we document this stuff, but also understanding that he came from a very humble beginnings, and it was just through the being in the right place, the right time, and having a roommate that that he roomed with there in college that really propelled him to where he is today. And I think also we talk about his grandma who he looked up to. She had a restaurant, and she did always worked in the business, not on the business. And so in her 60s, she ultimately lost that business. And so it was really a moment in time for him to have a reflection of wanting that never to happen to him. And so really making sure that he was going to set up the right foundation for what would be his company, Advisors Excel, and really creating that corporate culture and teaching everybody about the right way to go about doing things. So we go through his journey. It's really amazing. I mean, they talk about the hockey stick. I mean, this thing just went straight up, and good guy, very grounded, very humble. So it was an honor to be with Cody on the podcast. And then from there, learning my own summit. Of course, I built an e-learning course called Finding Your Summit, and all that can be found at Mark Pattison NFL. There's a little tab up there called e-learning. You hit that, and what we're going to do is we're going to give you a free PDF. It's really a tip of the iceberg on how you can elevate your game. I learned all these things through my head coaches way back when, through the pyramid of success, and I dumbed them down into really some simple modules, which I call my summits, and it's an acronym for success and accomplishment. And so we all need to get there, whether it's your relationship, whether it's elevating your game in life. You have a big goal like I've had with climbing all these crazy mountains, my next one, Mount Everest, coming up. I've used these things myself. And so while simplistic in nature, most people don't do them, and it does get you to your end goal, not always the way you imagined, but action does create reaction. And so I highly recommend that you go in. We also have a free assessment over there at Finding Your Summit, and you can find out exactly where you're at. Again, it's free. And something I also wanted to start adding into these different podcasts, because I am inspired by other people, and you'll understand this. And this was a quote by the great Mahatma Gandhi, and he said this: live as if you were to die tomorrow. Learn as if you were to live forever. And so I think that's one of the things I've really tried to incorporate in my life. You know, I was going through a tough time, and so that's really springboarded me to live as if I was going to die tomorrow. And that's why I'm climbing these mountains. I don't take risk, or we'll call measured risk, as you might think. But, you know, it's really that sense of urgency and getting things done. And when I'm up and I'm climbing these mountains, I work out in the morning, in and around my day, I plug in podcasts. I'm always trying to learn to elevate where I'm trying to go, because other people know a lot more than me. And it's just amazing to hear some of these different stories of how they overcame their adversity and found their way and what they can teach us back. Okay. So as always, this podcast is brought to you by Violets Are Blue skincare line, Sydney Bethman, rock star. Okay. Let's go listen to Cody. Here we go.
Hey everybody, it's Mark Pattison back again with another phenomenal episode of Finding Your Summit, all about people overcoming adversity and finding their way. And today I am beaming from Sun Valley, Idaho. Beautiful spot, snowing outside, been lots of snow and very frigid temperatures here. And I have Cody Foster all the way. He is, I believe, sitting in Topeka, Kansas. Cody, how you doing?
I am in Topeka and I'm doing good. So it's not snowing here for once. So that's nice. A nice change for us.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about this last night when I start first doing the research, which is about a week ago, and it's just like, who is from Topeka, Kansas? And the more I've learned about this, we're going to get into this amazing company that you founded along with a couple other guys. But tell me about growing up in Topeka.
Well, so I didn't grow up in Topeka. I actually grew up in a town a lot smaller than Topeka. I grew up in a small town in western Kansas, and I ended up in Topeka. I came here to go to college. So it was first person in my family to go to college. There's a Division II school here in Topeka, Washburn University. So I came here and I've been here now for 24 years.
Yeah. So what is the size of the town? And the reason I'm asking you this, for the listener out there, we're going to get into Cody. Cody is a co-founder of a company called Advisors Excel. And they've been in business for 10 years. Now they're doing over $7 billion, that's with a B, dollars in revenue. And it's just this amazing, incredible story. And so I kind of want to go to the end and then back this thing up. And like, you know, how in the world does somebody from a small little town with humble beginnings, you know, actually weave and navigate their way to where you guys are today? And you've got this thriving company. And along with a thriving company, you've got a bunch of employees. And when you have that, you know, you got to find great quality people. And so part of this conversation too is just educating me on the heart of the country, you know, where you grew up and where you currently reside today.
You know, and even to the theme of what we were talking about with your podcast and overcoming adversity and summits and some of those things. I grew up when I say a small town in western Kansas, like one stoplight. So really, really small, 27 people in my graduating class. So just grew up in this tiny town back there, but grew up around entrepreneurs. My grandparents moved to western Kansas from Southern California in the mid-70s. I say probably one of the worst land deals of all time. They traded some land they had in Southern California for this ranch out in western Kansas. But, you know, it kind of goes to the Midwest. I think California was growing at a crazy rate. They wanted a change of lifestyle and moved out to Kansas. And when they got here, not only did they own this farm, they bought a couple businesses in town. They owned the pizza place and a pool hall and a cafe or diner, kind of all side by side. So grew up around that, you know, family businesses, grew up working in all of those. And then it kind of leads to how I got into financial services. My grandparents got divorced when I was in fifth grade. They've been married for, you know, 30 plus years, almost 40 years. And they sold off a few of those businesses. My grandpa moved to another town and my grandma kept and ran that cafe for quite a while. But then when I was at Washburn, my junior year of college, got a call from my mom one morning and she told me that my grandma was losing the cafe and going to be filing bankruptcy. And, you know, being able to look back and knowing details a lot better today than maybe at the time, my grandma just had never really ran the business. She'd always worked in the business, but didn't really know how to operate the business. And through these series of bad financial decisions, ended up, you know, 64 years old, single or divorced, bankrupt, and the sole source of income for, you know, last 30 years of her life had been taken away. So I decided
Hold on. Yeah. I want to like dive through that just a little bit and slice it up.
Sure.
Right. So, I mean, you're going through this and that happened, but my grandfather was also very entrepreneurial, very successful. He owned hotels and restaurants in Seattle, did very well up there. And I ended up working actually for him in one of his restaurants. And then he went on to other things. But, you know, when you're in it, when you're junior and you say college, when that
college,
all this happened.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times I think it's hard to just really understand and put that in perspective because you're in college, you're going to parties, you're chasing girls, you're doing all those things that most college kids did. Did you have the mental awareness about, you know, your grandmother? Obviously she was losing her business and, you know, you knew what that was about, but in terms of her being in the business and not actually rising up at 30,000 feet and running the business.
No, not at all. You know, I'm a mass media major, public relations. I wanted to work, like, kind of my goal around that time was I wanted to work for a professional baseball team doing, you know, PR and marketing. But what I did realize from that, I didn't have the knowledge of that or the understanding of that. What I did have a pretty quick understanding, or I don't know if you want to say light bulb moment, is I grew up in a family that didn't have a lot of money. And like I said, first person in my family to go to college, I was able to go to college because a guy had left this great scholarship fund that more or less made it free. That's why I ended up at Washburn versus somewhere else. It was free for me to go there. What I had a really good understanding of quickly is that I needed to learn more about money. I just didn't know anything about it, didn't have much of an interest in it. So what I did do on that, Mark, is within probably 3 weeks of that happening, I went and got a job at a bank. I didn't really know where to start, but you know, back there, the bank was really the only financial institution in that small town, and they always seemed to have money, and they were the ones who had, you know, foreclosed or taken the cafe away. So I went and got a job as a teller, and I started working a drive-through lane at a local bank here my junior year of college, and then kind of going into that summer. And then my senior year, they had opened a call center, so I was actually able to work full-time my senior year, kind of the 3 to 11 shift every night in this call center, and at least started getting a foundation or fundamental understanding of simple things that I didn't know about, you know, banking and finance and money, frankly.
Yeah. So was your driver then to be, I wanted to phrase this in the right way, have a better life than what your parents were able to give you, because you probably, you know, looked out there and did see others with more things in their life. And that's something that you'd wanted to attain someday? Or was it just mainly from your grandma and making sure that never happened to you?
Probably more so the second one. I think the first one, I don't know that I ever realized we didn't have a lot of money, right? I mean, I think for some of the things that we maybe lack from a material standpoint, I had incredible parents and an incredible family life and so many other awesome blessings. I think it was more, I wanted to make sure what happened to my grandma never happened to anybody that I cared about ever again. What I didn't say is I was the oldest grandchild, so I always like to think I was probably her favorite grandchild, but I also spent the most time with her because I was working in those restaurants side by side with her all the time. And so it was probably more that second one. I didn't want that to happen to somebody that I cared about. I saw the pain and the embarrassment and the struggle that created in her life. And you know, if I can make sure that doesn't happen, I want to be able to do that.
Okay, so now you go off and you want to try to really get that foundation, that financial foundation under your feet. So you go off to a local bank, you start working there, now you're onto a call center, and now you're graduating. And so now what? Now, like a lot of us, we're out there. I mean, my realization came after I played in the NFL. And that's a hard lesson to learn because you go from like zero to the top income bracket and then you go off the cliff and then you're kind of back down at square one, right? And for everybody else, it's like, okay, I guess unless you're a doctor or a lawyer with a clear path, what am I going to do? So what did you do?
Well, so I met a girl that plays into the story a little bit. That girl's now my wife and has been for 18 years. But awesome. Ironically, I was getting ready to graduate. This was December of 99 and had met Jennifer, my wife, a couple months before that and was getting ready to graduate. David, who's my partner here at Advisors Excel and was my roommate in college, I've known him since the first day of my freshman year of college, he was a year older than me, but he was working at this place that was basically an insurance marketing organization, wholesaler for insurance products to financial advisors. And he told me, hey, they're getting ready to hire, you know, a couple new people. You ought to come in and interview. I think you'd like it. And there were two things, right, that when you look back at all these things that happened in your life and kind of the path they take you down, it's kind of fun to be able to look at them, you know, in retrospect. But one, I just met Jen and kind of liked her, so didn't necessarily want to move away. Two, I was on this quest to learn more about, you know, money and financial services. And this aligned, it was a different opportunity than a bank. You know, up until that point, the only institutions I really knew that dealt with money were banks. So now learning more about insurance companies and broker dealers and some of the different investment options out there. So went and applied and got a job there, started at the end of 99 and was there for about 4 years before we left.
Yeah. So are we talking more like insurance type work, or are we talking about Merrill Lynch financial advisors?
Yeah, more insurance. So we wholesaled annuity products. We represented about 40, and this is what we do today. We represented probably 40 different insurance companies, you know, names that you would know, you know, that you would, Pacific Life, Nationwide, pretty common names like that. And we got insurance agents or financial advisors to sell their products. So we basically get paid when the advisors are using their products. So they sign up through us to access those different companies. But what we really became was kind of this clearinghouse where an independent financial advisor, instead of having to try and know every product from every company, could come to us and say, hey, here's what my client is looking for. Here's the solution we're trying to solve. What's the best option out there for them?
Okay, so now you're in this business for 4 years, and what was the transitionary moment for you to go from, you know, you're working for somebody else and it's just your day in, day out, you met this great gal, ultimately she becomes your wife, but now there's this entrepreneurial bug that's eating away at both you and your now co-founder, your friend, your roommate. What was that? I mean, how did that transition happen?
So I think there's a couple things. One, I've probably always wanted to own my own business. I'm aware enough now to realize that I don't always do the best taking direction from other people. Like, and so that probably led, one thing I didn't say is Dave and I both got these incredible opportunities really early in our career because the company got bought and we really grew at this rapid rate and we were moved into leadership positions like a year and a half, 2 years out of college and got an experience that just you don't typically have at that age that probably prepared us a little bit to do this. But I know I've kind of always wanted to own my own company. I started, you know, buying houses and flipping them in college and always just kind of had a little bit of an entrepreneurial bug, probably, you know, with how I was raised and being around it. But the reality is I just didn't enjoy coming to work. You know, as the company had grown, we were moved into management positions. We spent a lot of our day doing what I would call our management duties, you know, micromanaging our people and looking at their phone reports and hollering at them if they hadn't made enough phone calls. And I didn't enjoy how the business was structured. I didn't enjoy what I did on a daily basis. I didn't really believe in the way that we were doing things in two ways. We recruited tons of advisors and didn't really build a relationship with them. We were just a kind of a product provider. And then second, I just didn't enjoy the culture and the way that the business was set up. I don't like to have to micromanage people. It's not what I'm good at. And so Dave and I were talking and said, you know, we see all these financial advisors and how they're helping people as they transition into retirement. And heck, we're training them every week in here. Why don't we just go be financial advisors? So we left at the end of 2003 and set up our own independent, you know, financial advisory firm here in Topeka. And our original goal was we were just going to start, you know, helping people as they transition into retirement as a financial advisor. So we did that in 2004, started the company, you know, had these grand visions of building this great advisory firm, thought that it was going to be easy. You know, we had this idealistic, like, we're going to be able to help people. We're going to have this great quality of life, you know, get more free time and make great money. And it was a lot harder, like, you know, a few weeks out of the gate, it was a lot harder than we realized. And I think that's one thing people, as they start businesses, don't, you know, I went from this company when I left there, we had about 160 employees. Anything that I needed done, there was someone I could hand it off to get it done. And now we go from that to the two of us, I mean, literally just two of us, to where you did everything, right? We made the coffee in the morning and took the trash out at night and did all the things in between. Dave's mom would actually come down if we had a bunch of appointments to kind of just sit. She was retired, would sit out there and kind of, you know, talk to people and be our, not even really our receptionist, but just someone to help us a little bit there. So I think really quickly we saw the complexity of trying to run this business. It wasn't as easy as we thought. And I say all the time, I just kept having these flashbacks to my grandma. And you asked that question earlier about having the perception or the knowledge of she didn't understand how to run the business. I really quickly got it, you know, that if we're going to make this a successful business and not a failure, I really have to understand how to run the business. And we have to start thinking a lot more like business owners. And I think that kind of drove us and ended up to, you know, what became Advisors Excel or us starting that.
Yeah, I mean, this is a cool story because I think it's easy to look at the hockey stick growth you guys have experienced now and go, wow, you know, these guys always had it. But really, you know, this is not a silver spoon story of somebody that was raised in a lot of money. It's really understanding and feeling the pain, wearing all the different hats of a business that is to grow it. And it probably through some of that pain you really understood, and also the experience of working at the former company, of the culture that you talked about, really helped guide the path in terms of what, you know, your company is today and really build that foundation.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've gotten really lucky that we got some early opportunities to get an experience and a foundation that a lot of people don't get, you know, that it takes them a decade plus to really get. We got in, you know, a few years. So that was helpful. But yeah, the company started with three of us. So we had a third partner, Derek. So it was Dave, Derek, and I. And for the first few months, just the three of us. By the end of we started Advisors Excel in 05. And Mark, the idea was, you know, Dave and I are financial advisors. We're struggling. We realize that we've got to become better business owners. And we had this idea that, hey, we understand this other side of the business. What if we started another company that worked with financial advisors, and we created this mastermind network of, you know, originally I think our goal was kind of, if we could go find 50 of the best advisors across the country and create this mastermind network where we got together and we learned from each other and shared best practices, think of what that would do to our advisory business. So when we started Advisors Excel in February 1st of 05, so just celebrated our 14-year anniversary, you know, the original thought and through most of that first year of 05, we were also running our advisory practice. So we were still meeting with clients, you know, helping them with their financial planning, their retirement planning, and on the side trying to build this other organization that was working with financial advisors. And it was the end of that year, this other business, you know, which is now Advisors Excel, was starting to do really, really well. Like, I look back on that still to this day, and we didn't really offer much to advisors, but we did sell them on this idea of, we believe that if you can surround yourself with other great people and learn from them, your business is going to grow and get better. And people bought into that. And they, you know, so we went from the three of us at the end of that first year, I think we had two full-time employees, maybe three full-time employees at the end of 05. Today, we're at about 550 full-time employees here in Topeka, you know, went from no sales. I think we ended that first year with about $40 million in total premium. You said $7 billion in revenue at the beginning. That's $7 billion in premium, I should clarify.
Yeah, no, I get it.
$7 billion in revenue. Yeah, revenue would be awesome, but we're a long ways from there. But went from, you know, 40 million that first year to this year, last year we did a little over 7 billion. This year we should probably top $8.5 billion in premium that our advisors bring in.
So what, again, just, I want to break it down to just the ABCs of what you guys actually do. So I understand, you know, it's you and your buddy, your partner, at financial services, and you're kind of hopping along and struggling. You've got this other kind of side gig going on, and kind of matching other and bringing together great minds. And by the way, I love that idea. And I love that when, you know, you brain share with other people, that's the only way you go forward and you really learn on where you want to go and get a clear path.
It's the best.
Yeah, it's the best, right. So to boil the, you know, what you guys do exactly, and it seems like it's beyond just getting a bunch of great dudes in the room. But so what is that?
Yeah. So I'll explain it as simple as I can. And it really is a very simple business model. But for some reason, it always seems hard to explain. So here's what we do. We take good, I mean, we're very crystal clear now on what it is that Advisors Excel does. We take good financial advisors and we make them great business owners. A lot of financial advisors tend to be good at a few things. You know, it could be the sales process. It could be the actual planning. what we teach them how to do is because what they really are is they're small business owners running a financial services practice. So how do we help you be the best in all these areas? And that can mean leadership and culture and operations and technology and these different things.
This podcast is brought to you by Laird Superfoods. Let me tell you, these creamers are so amazing. They're super tasty, super delicious. And what they are is whole natural food ingredients mixed into these creamers. And I'm telling you, when you put this stuff into your drink, this powder substance, it is amazing. And their whole tagline is all about fueling your journey. You cannot go and actually power your way up a mountain, be in the pool, ride a big wave, unless you're properly fueled. And these guys are doing it all the right way. So where can you find this? At LairdSuperfood.com. And here's the kicker. If you use the code name MarkP20, that's MarkP20, you're going to get 20% off on your first order. So check it out, LairdSuperfood.com.
Technology and these different things. So that's what we do. The way we make money or generate revenue is we have four different business lines here. So one is annuities, one is life insurance, one is investment management, and one is a broker-dealer, so brokerage products. We work with independent financial advisors all over the country. We have about 650 offices that we work with all over the country. We tend to do a lot of business in states where people are, where there's a high concentration of retirees, because the only advisors we work with are those that are focused on people transitioning into retirement. So reason we do a lot of annuities is these people built a nest egg, they quit their job, they have no paycheck coming in, they're trying to figure out how to make this money last. So that's who we serve, are those advisors across the country. They access all of those different product lines through us. So like I said early on, you know, we represent probably 50 different insurance companies, from a Nationwide to Pacific Life to Allianz. So an advisor comes to us and can access all those different companies through us. On the investment side, you know, I don't know how many different investment options we have, but we custodian all the assets through TD Ameritrade and Fidelity, names that everyone would know. We help the advisors get set up on those platforms. Our investment team helps them build asset allocation models and portfolios and rebalance and do all that work for them. So in a way, we're a back office and product provider to these independent financial advisors across the country.
Yeah. Okay. I got it. So you sit in the middle of all these different transactions and help facilitate, you know, for this growth. I got to tell you, $40 million though, in your first year, I think, well, the first question that keeps bouncing into my brain as you're talking is, how big is Topeka, Kansas?
So Topeka's probably got 125 to 130,000 people from a population standpoint.
Yeah. So the whole key in I think your build, and you said you've got something like 525 people today, but the challenge is when you're talking about growth, you've got these great visions of you and your other two partners now, you've added a third, you know, like how do you navigate this going forward? Jim Collins had this great book called Good to Great. I'm sure you've read it. And one of the things that he talked about was about getting the right people on the bus. And as soon as you don't have the right person on the bus, you got to get them off, because it's hard to change those spots on a leopard, right? So in a town that has 100,000 plus in the middle of the country, and you guys are growing like gangbusters, you know, what did you guys put in place in terms of really trying to get that great quality person to come in and really align with your vision of leadership and creating that culture that you guys wanted to get away from those early days when you knew there was a point of difference that you guys just weren't tracking with the company that you guys originally started with?
Yeah, so this has been an evolution over the past 14, 15 years. And there's a couple phases of this. You know, what we were pretty fortunate really early on is we hired some people who knew us and trusted us, and vice versa. Some of that was family members or close friends, because if people didn't know us, it was really hard to convince someone to come work for this startup company. So our first 10, 15 hires were really good, are still with us today, kind of helped us lay a foundation as we were growing the organization. Then we started growing and we needed to hire a lot. You know, we started hiring people at a faster rate, and we had run out of people that we kind of knew and trusted that kind of knew the business and the industry. So we did have to start hiring, you know, people in. And we made this mistake. It's a mistake we corrected years and years ago, but we just started hiring the first person who walked through the door who looked qualified, because we were so busy, you know, trying to grow the business and so many things going on, and we needed the help that we didn't give that the proper time it probably deserved. And one day I remember waking up, Derek and I were having this conversation, and I was going out to actually a leadership event with Darren Hardy, and Darren is where Steven and I actually met. But we wake up one day and Derek's like, man, I don't know that I would have hired some of these people. And we had kind of taken ourselves, as we were growing and got some more leaders and management team in place, let them start hiring people. They were making the same mistakes we were. They needed the people, so they're hiring them fast. So when I was at Darren's event, he made a comment, and he said, every person you hire has the potential to change your culture. And I just took that to heart. And we came back, and this was probably 6 years ago now, like revamped our entire hiring process. You know, we have kind of a 4 or 5 step process now, multiple people interview them. We've slowed that process down, and we've really focused on hiring great people, because if you hire great people, you don't have to micromanage them and do all the things that I hated at the place I was at before. And that was somewhat of an epiphany, I think. You know, we think we always had this perception that if the more people you had, the more headaches you have. And what we found is by focusing on finding great people, it's actually quite the opposite. Great people make your life a lot easier and make it a lot easier to scale the business.
Yeah, that's incredible. I mean, it's great that you guys were able to take that time out and really have that realization on, you know, to scale and get the right people in to slow the process down and do it the right way. So tell me about the kitchen table. Because I think this plays into back into what you just talked about.
Yeah, so we have this kitchen table, and we actually hung it on our wall here in our new office. And there's an NFL story in there, I'll tell you. But we started when Dave and I left in 2004, and we were advisors. We had this small little office that was just two little offices side by side, almost like it wasn't a Regis space, but something similar to that, right? So when we were going to start Advisors Excel, we had a 1-year lease. So at the end of 2004, our lease is coming due. We decide we're going to start this. Derek's going to join us. We realized that we've got to have a little bigger office. So we didn't renew our lease, and we were trying to find a new office. So for that month of January in 2005, our office was my kitchen table. We literally sat around kind of December and January, both, I guess I should say. We spent every day, you know, they would come over to my house and we'd spend all day talking about and laying out we wanted this organization to be. And as an advisor, what would I want and what values could we provide? And so we spent that first, you know, probably 6-8 weeks of our existence around my kitchen table, really mapping this out. And then we finally found an office and, you know, moved in there and kind of launched the company February 1st. Well, years go by. I'd actually sold this kitchen table set to some friends of ours, and we had a speaker come in. We'd bring speakers in all the time for our team, and his name is Mitch Holtis, and Mitch is the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Has been their radio announcer for a long time, and a good friend. And so he was talking to our team about, you know, what makes winning teams, and part of that was never forgetting where you came from. He's kind of telling the kitchen table story, and he stops and he's like, where's that kitchen table at? He's like, you guys need that kitchen table somewhere here to represent. So long story short, our office now is an old furniture store, a big old furniture store. And when we bought it, they had this huge clearance sale. So this was happening around the same time. And I called our friends and I said, hey, is there any chance that I could get that table back from you? And I was able to get them a new kitchen set on clearance here at the building that we bought. And so they swapped us out and we got it, and we chopped the legs off of it and hung it up on our kind of main area of our office. So everyone sees it and remembers, you know, how I think it's important for, as the company gets bigger and bigger and bigger, for us to always remind them what the company was founded on, the principles that have been important.
No, that is key, you know, and there was something that you were just talking about a few minutes ago. And recently I had the good fortune of being invited down to Atlanta for the Super Bowl. And I spent the day doing Radio Row. And a lot of it, I just come off a mountain called Vitsen Massif in Antarctica to make my sixth summit of the seven as I continue this quest towards becoming the first NFL guy to climb the seventh summit. So there's a lot of interest around that. And, you know, some of these guys were looking at me like they like, seriously, this is, I mean, why would you, I mean, you know, like all my buddies are out in Palm Desert, you know, teeing up and playing golf and having a good time. And so I said this, and this is, and again, I'm bringing this back to your situation and what the announcer of the Kansas City Chiefs was talking about, but this whole thing around greatness, right? I mean, everybody has their X amount of potential that they can reach, but what I said that the difference, I mean, I'm no different than anybody else. Anybody maybe not be able to play in the NFL or the NBA or Major League Baseball, but the pattern is pretty simple. And I'm going to ask you a question around this, is that I absolutely love the process. And the process, through metaphorically speaking, taking one step after the other to try to reach your summit, has gotten me to where, even though there's been bumps after bump after bump, it ultimately has gotten me to those summits. And it's been tough, but if you follow the principles and you stay focused on what you want to keep your eye on, the ball, the ultimate goal, you know, you can reach your own greatness, whatever that might be.
Yep.
So relating this again back, I mean, it seems like when you guys really boil it down, there must be, I'm just throwing this out there, your basic principles to success would include what for you?
That's a great question, and you're right? Everything's a process, and we had a new hire group yesterday. We had 25 new people start, and Dave and I, in their first week, we spent a couple hours with them and do kind of a Q&A, allow them to ask questions. And one of the things I said, and I've said this a lot, and I heard it somewhere, I think Tony Robbins maybe says this, is that most of us underestimate, or we overestimate what we can accomplish in a year, and we underestimate what we can accomplish in a decade. Yeah. And what I told this group yesterday is, if you took Dave and I from 10 years ago and put us in charge of Advisors Excel today, we'd run the thing into the ground. You know, we would not be the leaders that you needed to run this organization today. No different than climbing your first summit, right? It probably seemed like it was going to be a really hard task, but you put the work in and you keep growing and you train and get a little better. And, you know, I'm not saying the sixth one was easier in the first one, but each time you're just getting a little bit better. I think it applies to that and, you know, leadership, business, whatever it is. It's this, to me, the most important thing, I don't believe there's such a thing as a healthy status quo. You're either growing and getting better or you're getting worse. And so constantly trying to grow as a leader is probably the most important thing. You know, what you're doing, what you're reading, what you're studying, what you're learning is critical. And then as a subset of that, I just fundamentally believe that the people you surround yourself with are going to do more to determine your success and outcome. So I think one thing I've constantly tried to do is find really good people to be around and to learn from. I say all the time, I've been in a mastermind group for years. And one of the people in that group is Dave Liniger, who's the founder of Remax, founder and CEO, or former CEO of Remax. And, you know, Dave has a 30-year head start on us, but has a very similar business model. And just there's been some just incredible, you know, insights I've been able to take from him that were, you know, I'll never forget one time we're in Napa Valley and he told me I was complaining about some of our leadership and that I didn't think they were cut out to do the job. They've been with us from kind of early on. And Dave said, you know, the people that got you here, you know, even applying it to a summit, maybe aren't the same people that are going to get you to the top of the summit. The quicker you realize that your leaders have to grow at the pace of the organization, otherwise the organization outgrows them, the better you'll be. And we replaced some of those leaders and it made a huge difference in the business. So something that it probably would have taken me a long time to figure out and learn that, but being around someone who was able to impart that wisdom right away, you know, probably saved us, I don't know, half a decade of pain and experience that we would have had to learn on our own. So I think it's about constantly trying to grow and get better, you know, putting yourself in environments that allow you to do that. And then the people that you're learning from and surrounding yourself with that can push you and make you better. If I was going to say anything, those are probably the, you know, the two.
Yeah. You know, I totally agree with what you're saying. And I adhere to the same principles. I think another thing that's really helped me in my life is that I used to be like a tornado, you know, with the kids and coaching and running a business and all these different things. And I think more than anything, what the mountains has taught me and the reason why I'm typically up in the mountains somewhere every day is, and it doesn't have to be a mountain. It can be a yoga studio. It can be at your house. It doesn't matter. But you really need, I think, that quiet time to get clear on things and really think things out. Like, you know, am I going in the right direction? And then you mix in these other things. Another thing that I like to do a lot too is listen to podcasts, right? And audiobooks.
Yep.
And I don't listen to any, you know, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest type story. You know, everything is real and true. I love hearing entrepreneurial stories, how people overcame their struggle to get to where they are today. And that inspires me. And it also gives me new ideas like, huh, I haven't thought about that in that certain way. And
yeah,
in a sense, it's kind of like your mastermind group because you're being challenged by the other guys in the room that have their own business challenges.
Well, and that's what I mean, right? What type of stuff are you feeding your mind? And there's a few things that I think have been really important also to us. You know, one thing I do is Tamara, who you met or who helped coordinate this for us. She schedules me out of the office one day a month, every month. And it's a day where I literally have a little checklist I go through, and I really use it as thinking time, you know, evaluating what happened in the last 30 days with the business, where are we at on the goals for the business and then my personal goals. And it allows me some time just a way to think about, you know, what do we need to do? But also those mastermind groups, you know, are getting away a couple times a year. We get together a couple times a year. And it's not always the idea that you learn from the group, but it's putting yourself in an environment that's a business-rich environment or, you know, a mind-rich environment. Things come to me and I think about things that may not even relate, but it's because I'm in an environment like that. So I think that's critical. But then the same thing you said, you know, one of the big changes that I think has really helped me is I read a book called Miracle Morning. I don't know if you've read that by Hal Elrod and kind of changed around my... Yeah, so I changed around my whole morning routine and got up earlier and, you know, being able to take some time to read. And then, you know, when I'm working out, listening to podcasts, I love it. I don't know if you listened to How I Built This, but
yeah, sure.
I love that podcast because you're listening to, yeah, entrepreneurs who have built these great businesses and you see some similarities, some struggles, but also get some great ideas out of that. So the stuff that you're feeding yourself makes a big difference. But you know, going back to the kind of original story with my grandma, I think that day away and then being in some of those environments, it allows me to think about the business and not get caught up in the day-to-day of running the business, which has been critical as we've continued to grow.
Well, there's no question, you know, when you're being, you're in a environment where there's 525 employees and everybody's got a need and wants to talk to you, it's just really hard to take a time out and stop. You know, I was thinking back before, you know, we jumped on today, there's a guy that I had on episode 30 of Finding Your Summit, Rich Barton. Rich is a guy that started Expedia. He's the founder, as well as Zillow. He just actually is going back and taking over the CEO role again. At that company. But, you know, as we were going through and navigating his whole journey of really incubating Expedia with inside Microsoft and going to Bill Gates and selling this whole idea, it was pretty fascinating. But, you know, his journey of having a great idea, but then also, again, making sure that everybody is on board and going down and rowing in the same direction to make sure you have that ultimate company vision of success and the way you want to treat people. One of the things I also heard, and I think this is one of those small things that you guys have baked into what you call company culture, which is creating a small discretionary budget around when a customer has some special needs that your representative at your company, Advisors Excel, can go out and buy them. I don't know if it's flowers or a card or a gift certificate. I don't know what that is, but there's a little random act of kindness that is sent out, and the rewards that has magnified you guys 10 times over coming back.
Yes. Yeah, so one thing we try and tell all of our employees is we believe all things being equal, the company that provides the best experience will always win. And an idea that I may have come up with it, someone else may have, but we have all these, making sure that we don't lose sight of we're humans doing business with humans. And we call it, you said random acts of kindness. That's really what it is. We call it PPI, which stands for personalized positive impact. So what we've really tried to teach our team to do is listen to these, like when you're talking to our advisors and their team, pay attention to what's going on in their life. And that could be positive or negative, right, Mark? It doesn't always have to be negative things. It could also be positive things that have happened. And then I don't know that we have a budget. I think maybe we say, you know, $50 a month or something like that. But what we try and tell them to do is listen for these opportunities that you could do something to make a positive impact on their life and make it really personalized. So what we really don't do is like flowers or gift cards or that. I'll give you the best example of all time. One of our advisors, his dad had passed away, and he's calling in to our office, and he's talking to Megan, who's in an operations role, you know, so not like one of our salespeople or anything like that. And he's telling Megan this story about this poem that his dad had written his mom before he had passed away. And he's reading it to Megan on the phone, like going through it. So Megan, after that call, you know, the funeral's like later that week, or Megan, after that call, we have to record all our calls for kind of compliance purposes and stuff. She has them pull it. She transcribes the poem. She goes out to Facebook, finds this picture that he had posted of his dad, and has this cool canvas made that she sends to him. And it was, you know, it was simple. Frankly, it probably didn't even cost $50. And this happened a long, long time ago, and I still like get choked up talking about it, because he calls back, and I still have the voicemail. I've kept it forever, and leaves her this message, and can't get through the message. Like, he breaks down and starts crying. And I use that as an example all the time. I'm like, if you can create that type of experience, you know, for our advisors, it takes us away from being another product provider choice that they have, and deepens the relationship. So, you know, we have, I mean, literally hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands now of those types of things. But that's really what we've tried to, you know, impart on them, is listen for things that are happening in their life and then figure out how to use that to create a great experience.
Well, I always like to say, like, at the end of the day, even though a lot of people don't see themselves in this way, we're all in sales, right? And,
yep.
And the key to being the best salesperson is listening, not flapping your mouth, right? So all these little nuggets actually, you know, truly come out. So another person that you mentioned a few minutes ago is Hal Elrod. He's got this morning, Miracle Morning, and when you go through his quick read book, it's only about 100 pages, but within that, he's got all these strategies on how to be the most successful person, and that's really breaking your day down. And that all starts with the first hour of your day. And now he breaks it down. Like, he super breaks it down. I have my morning routine. My morning routine is the thing. First thing is called FOF, which is feet on floor, because it's so easy not to get out of bed, especially when it's early and it's cold outside and it's dark. And you're like, oh, God, I got it. But the FOF, first thing. Okay, so after that for me is going directly. I run up a mountain. Or I skip a mountain. I go to the gym, whatever it is. I'm out, like, feeling my brain full of oxygen and just really jump-starting everything. And then while I'm doing that, I'm listening to somebody like you or somebody else that is successful, that's out there, that's really teaching me, you know, new ways or how I can elevate my game. So the question back to you is, you know, what's your FOF?
Yeah, so pretty similar, except for Kansas is pretty flat, so we don't have any mountains to jump onto. But I wake up at 5 o'clock but my routine's pretty similar. I wake up at 5 o'clock every morning. I spend 5 minutes. I don't know if you call it meditating. I use Headspace. You know, just the So I get out of bed, I go out there, it's a chair I sit in, and I spend 5 minutes just trying to clear my brain a little bit. And then I have a couple devotionals that I read. So I'll read devotionals, Bible, maybe journal a little bit off of that for 25 minutes. Walk over. I have a gym at my house in a basketball gym and a kind of a weight room. So 3 days a week, I have a trainer shows up, and then 2 days a week, we play basketball, a bunch of guys from work. So we'll go over, work out from 5:30 to 6:30. I'll come back and usually read for about 15 minutes, some book that tends to be probably a little more business focused. So I'll read for about 15 minutes and then, you know, kind of get ready for work. We're getting, by that time, we're getting our kids up about 6:45 to get them ready for school. And then I take them to school each morning. Their school's right by our work. So, you know, I get ready, take them to school, and come into work at 8 o'clock. So.
That's awesome. And you know, it's everything you just said, it's not easy. I have my own routine beyond just working out. I've got my 7 Summit smoothie that I throw down after I come back. Right. And it's just like, it's hard work, but it just gets easier as it goes. But it's all about daily discipline. And without that daily discipline and whatever you do, you can't achieve great things.
And you know what's crazy, and you probably have experienced this too, because I had it happen Tuesday, actually. I didn't get up. We didn't have enough people come to play basketball. I was kind of worn out from the week before. We had had a long week, and I slept in a little. Your day goes so much better when you get up and follow that routine. And it's just so top of mind because it was a couple days ago that I didn't get up and follow it, right? I still, by the time I did get up, I read and did some of the other things, but didn't go get a workout in. And just, it's hard to describe how much better your day goes when you start off with that routine. And it was just a great reminder of like being disciplined and going through that each day.
Well, look, I'm going to reference somebody again. You referenced earlier before, but Guy Raz does have a podcast called How I Built It. It's a fantastic podcast, and he has something at the very end of his podcast, which I'm going to throw down on you right now because you've had such incredible growth and success over the time that you've been running, you and your partner has been running this company. But would you think, or would you call it luck or skill that has gotten you and propelled you to this place today?
Yeah, so I hear that question from Guy all the time, right? And I think most people have done this, realizes that there's components of both. You know, definitely some components of luck. You know, and looking back on it now, I say all the time, like, I'm pretty lucky that I met Dave my freshman year of college. I'm, you know, we're lucky that Dave literally answered this weird, you would have thought he was going to work for a telemarketer. I remember when he went to work for this company out of college, you know, he had kind of blown this interview off and was more focused on some other interviews he had that week, but ends up going to work for this company. You know, we were lucky that the company we were working at got bought and started growing. And, you know, we had done, but to that point, Dave, myself and Derek had all kind of through, you know, hard work and really trying to be the best there had identified or been identified early on as people that had some leadership potential. And we got moved into some positions at a really young age that most people don't. So there was this combination of luck and hard work, you know, that happened. And I think you could look back through, I mean, my last 20 years, even going back farther, I was lucky this guy left the scholarship that allowed me to come to Washburn where I met Dave, you know, that none of that happens without it. So I think everyone would tell you there's a lot of things that whether you want to call it luck or that God has this plan and path he's taking you down or whatever you want to call blessings. But if you don't combine that with hard work also, it's never going to work out. There's a lot of people that have probably had those similar things. So I don't know if they're equal. I don't know if one's greater than the other, but it takes both of those to be successful without question.
Yeah, no question. Hard work. I always like to refer back to John Wooden's Pyramid of Success, which my great coach Don James taught me about the 25 different blocks, individual and team goals to get you to your ultimate destination. And, you know, so key if you want to make it, if you want to get there. I think meditating, praying, reading the Bible, writing down goals, having things that are in your wheelhouse. I talked to a kid last night who wanted to, I'm mentoring him, and And he's this downhill skier. And I'm like, well, where do you want to go? And he had a hard time answering that question. I'm like, do you want to be in the Olympics? You want to be, because I can't give you a roadmap and how to get there unless you know exactly what the ultimate destination is going to be. And, you know, like all of us, like you've done, you know, you just keep chipping away at it and making sure that every day you have a certain routine and you get there and you get after it. And with all these different goals, you know, you can get to some level of success, but you can never look back and say, I didn't give it my all. And that's the most important thing.
Yep. I agree.
Effort, effort, effort. Okay. So, hey, listen, where can people find you?
Probably the only social media thing I really do. I'm on Twitter, so I might just find a lot of good stories there. So I think my Twitter hashtag is Cody G Foster.
Yep.
So if you want my, you know, sometimes incoherent thoughts, that's where I put them. advisorsexcel.com is our website. You know, we're talking about trying to do a few more things to be a little more public, but we haven't quite implemented those yet. So those are probably the two best.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, at least I found you all the way in Topeka, Kansas.
Yes.
All right. Well, listen, he is Cody Foster, co-founder of Advisors Excel. This has been an incredible conversation. I love talking to people who are not just disciplined, and it's not just about luck, but really have a great story of where they came from, know their humble beginnings, all the way from the small town to Topeka to, you know, however you want to describe this as luck or skill or whatever. You guys saw an opportunity, you saw the gap that's stepping into your fear and never looking back. And today, 14 years later, you've got this gigantic company, and you know, the future is wide open for you. And once that happens, I'm sure it gives you opportunities to really give back and be grateful to the people that helped get you there.
Absolutely.
All right, buddy. Listen, thank you. All this stuff will be in the show notes once this pod comes out. Again, I greatly appreciate your time.
Thanks, Mark. It was great to connect.
Hey, and thank you so much for listening to the Find Your Summit podcast. We are so glad to have you along for this journey. And if you enjoy the show, please tell a friend, share it on iTunes, spread it to the planet. We're looking to broadcast this to every person that is out there because, as you know, everybody has their own summit that they're going after. Okay, if you're looking to follow my journey, you can find that through my social links on markpattisonnfl.com. That's Mark, M-A-R-K, Pattison, P-A-T-T-I-S-O-N, nfl.com. So, until the next podcast, just remember, clear eyes, full hearts, and remember, it takes a little more to make a champion, so make it happen. Thank you. Bye.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.